Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cosmic Citizen. It's a beautiful day here in Colorado. And today we have a special guest, two special guests, although one is more of a special co-host. My dear friend Diane LeBrecq is going to be co-hosting with me today. And for the first hour, she's going to fill us in on what's going on with the United Urantia Family Festival in Montreal this summer, July 1st through the 5th. This thing just keeps getting better and better. And Diane will give us a fill it in, and then we'll also do a bit of an open phone if you have any questions and about the Family Festival. And then the second hour we'll be joined by Elizabeth Jones. Elizabeth is an amazing aromatherapist. I mean, when I say amazing, it's with a capital A. She has been doing this forever. She and her husband do essential oils. He is created a way to gauge the purity of the oils, and her oils are more pure than anybody else's oils. I mean, I would defy anybody to find more pure essential oils than what Elizabeth does. She's an absolute expert on aromatherapy, and it's going to be real interesting. So I hope folks will call in and ask Elizabeth questions. Of course, we know Diane is trained in homeopathy, and natural medicines has been her forte for the last 30 years. She has her own company called Osana. She creates infrared saunas, and just like Elizabeth, Diane creates the Cadillac of infrared saunas, and they're just renowned for their quality and their beauty and their effectiveness. So, you know, it'll be a great show with Diane and Elizabeth. And so, Diane, are you there, my dear?
I am right there, Paula. Thank you so much for asking me to co-host with you. It's a pleasure.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you.
How are you today?
I am great. It's a beautiful day here, although it's supposed to get up to 80, but or in the 80s even, but it's real windy, so it's an interesting thing. We've got, warm, windy air coming in off the desert, so it'll be an interesting day in Colorado, a bad hair day. But that goes.
That's cute.
A lot of you may not know that Diane and I both read God Calling together, and we share oftentimes the beauty of God Calling. Of course, we love the Urantia book and the life and teachings of Jesus, and because we love Jesus so much, and she shares that with me, and I know you all love Jesus too as much as we do, and the Urantia book just kind of puts it up over the top. If you love Jesus and you haven't read the life and teachings of Jesus from the Urantia book, you have a real treat in store. There's not a word good enough to describe how good this story of Jesus is, and it's the same Jesus we've always had, just more of him. And anyway, God Calling is similarly a book that came through in the same time frame as the Urantia book did, the early 1930s. Two British women went apart every day and prayed, and they prayed for guidance from Jesus. And every day for a year, Jesus came to them and gave them a lesson. The one woman would speak it and the other would write it down. They remained anonymous. They never revealed who they were. They called themselves only two listeners. I judge this material by the fact that I hear Jesus' voice on it. When I read it, I feel in my heart, I feel my master. And Diane has just gotten done translating the entire God Calling book into French. And she does a God Calling class every week at a local cathedral. And so that's been a great endeavor for you, hasn't it, Diane? I mean, it's just been a...
Yes, it has. It has, but it has been one of my life's greatest gifts from God to do God Calling. And especially at first, you know, when I found out that there was no such a thing as God Calling in French on the market, I thought, well, I guess that's it, another job. I have to translate it, you know. It's not on the market. And so it seemed like... you know me, Paula, so I'm not like really a book person in terms of intellectual per se. And so it seemed like a lot of work for me. I was just going like, oh, you know. Now it's done. About a month and a half ago, after a year of translating every single day, week by week, it is finally done. Beautiful work. And what has been most transforming to me is that having to translate it has brought me into such a depth of communion with the Spirit of Truth, with the Spirit of Jesus per se, and asking, praying, waking me up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning and, you know, almost like, get up, Diane, time to go translate. And there is something about working at 3 in the morning in the wee hours of the night and the early hours of the morning when you are so focused, when it is so silent. And I would just pray and commune. And what do you mean, Jesus? How do you really want to say this? And the work that has happened in my soul, Paula, is just unbelievable. And so the meetings that I have with these few souls that come at the meeting every week, every Wednesday night, we commune together in the Spirit of Jesus, and it is so transforming, so uplifting, and it is such a joy. I keep saying to God, God, working for you is a true joy. I keep being in such a spirit of joy and to help people. And when I have people come and say, oh, if I miss my God calling every Wednesday, you know, I feel it through the week. And I say to them, it's like going to the gym. Well, this is the spiritual fitness, you know. The Urantia book is, it is what it is. It's the fifth apocryphal revelation. So there's no human words to describe it. Yet at the same time, God Calling is so complementary, and it is a recipe book. It's an actual book of practical little messages, practical exercises to help us go through each day. And when we live those experiences, those daily lives that we live in such different ways, you know, so many different ways, there always seems to be an answer. And it's interesting that it was in 1933, just around exactly the same time as the Revelation. And to see some of the message, I'm sure you remember what I mean, Paula, so many messages of Jesus in the God Calling are talking of concepts that are in the Urantia book, but go back 75 years, 80 years ago in 1933, those concepts were not known in the Bible or other religious books. So it is such a delight for me when I read this and I go, oh, my God, the same as in the Urantia book. So I do, as you said, I do feel the Spirit of Jesus there. And it's almost like he's taking you by the hand. One is the extraordinary universal, this extraordinary library from the universe, from God to man. And the other one is a little practical book, just like if you go to the gym and you start lifting 5 pounds and then 10 pounds, and then you say, my God, I feel good inside. Well, your soul almost feels the same, you know, like I feel so alive inside. So it's an incredible book. I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Me too. And, you know, we won't go on about God Calling, but I just wanted to share that because I wanted to congratulate you on finishing translating it into French. I know what a monumental task that was. And I wanted to share, and we already have a caller, believe it or not. I guess I better answer the call. But before I do, I know you're going to fill us in on the United Urantia.
Yes.
wonderful. So, and it's a lot of exciting stuff that you have to tell.
Yes.
Here's one of my favorite lessons from God Calling recently. It's like I told Diane earlier, I read it every year, and every year something jumps out at me that didn't jump out at me the year before. And this is from February 6th. It's called God's Longing, and it tunes me into the heart of God. It goes like this. To the listening ear I speak, to the waiting heart I come. Sometimes I may not speak. I may ask you merely to wait in my presence, to know that I am with you. Think of the multitudes who thronged me when I was on earth, all eager for something, eager to be healed or taught or fed. Think as I supplied their many wants and granted their manifold requests, what it meant to me to find amid the crowd some one or two who followed me just to be near me, just to dwell in my presence. How some longing of the eternal heart was satisfied thereby. Comfort me a while by letting me know that you would seek me just to dwell in my presence, to be near me, not even for teaching, not for material gain, not even for a message, but for me. The longing of the human heart to be loved for itself is something caught from the great divine heart. I bless you. Bow your heads.
So beautiful. Thank you, Paula, for reading this.
I love to just be in his presence and just be with him because I love him so. Not for a message, not for any material gain, not for anything, but just to be with him because I love him so. And even as a child, I used to think, wow, the apostles were so lucky. They got to be in his presence. But I didn't realize as a child that we are just that lucky. We get to be in his presence because of his spirit of truth. And it's very real. And so.
And you know why, Paula, also? Because if we look in the Urantia book, in the, you know, the introduction, the very, very last page, if you allow me, it takes just a few moments. It says, the very last of the foreword, we are fully cognizant of the difficulties of our assignment. We recognize the impossibility of fully translating the language of the concepts of divinity and eternity into the symbols of the language of the finite concepts of the mortal mind. But we know that there dwells within the human mind a fragment of God, and that there sojourns with the human soul the spirit of truth. And that has moved me so much ever since my eyes laid sight on that sentence, because we put a lot of importance on the thought adjuster, the fragment, the indwelling fragment of God, yes, but sometimes we tend to forget that there sojourns in our heart and soul. When we say in English, in my heart and soul, I feel this, in the seed of our heart, our soul, sojourns the soul, the spirit of Jesus, and that is how close he is to us. And that's what I feel in God Calling, in complementarity with the Urantia book, is that the presence is so omnipresent that you feel it, your hair, you get goosebumps. It is so present. That's what some of the people, they used to come to the church to me and say, my God, Diane, I feel it's almost like he's talking to me. I smiled and I said, could it be that he is? You know?
The beauty also is that these two women remained completely egoless.
They
are unknown. Nobody knows who they are. And they gave this as a gift to all who will enjoy it from here on out. And I know that I'll love it for the rest of my life. And I'm so glad that that you have given it to French-speaking people now. Thank you so much.
I thank God. He's doing all this, Paula. It's beyond ourselves. When you look and you say, well, all glory be to you, God, to you, Jesus. We're just servants. But We can serve in joy. That doesn't mean to say we have to be downcast and totally like effaced and erased. We can be joyful, full of joy. Rejoice, like Jesus said. Be of good cheer. Well, I'm, like I said, a little tadpole, but a happy tadpole. You know? So I'm a little tadpole, but a happy tadpole.
Yeah, we had a good chuckle last night, Diane and I. Happy tadpoles, and you
yes.
have you have that infectious giggle. So
I can just hear Jesus say, "Okay, let me just go take care of my universe." Okay, you little tadpole, and then, well, at least I'm a happy tadpole. Yeah, just leave her. Just leave her be, happy tadpole. You know, I gotta go take care of my universe.
Yeah, we were talking about the majesty of our sovereign, of our Lord, and mm-hmm. all the responsibility that he has, and you know how ludicrous it is for us to take ourselves seriously in the light of the monumental responsibilities that our Lord manages, and that
exactly it's like I said to you, how can we dare be anything but humble?
Yes,
how can we? But we can be full of joy. That doesn't mean to say the ego. That doesn't mean to think that we're the greatest thing since sliced bread. We can be very humble, but we can serve humbly and joyfully. And when we work for the Lord, when we work for Jesus, when we work with God, we can smile and to see the good that he does through each and every one of us if we allow him to. What better joy, what better price, what better pay can we get than this joyful feeling of happiness, you know, peace of heart, and joy of living that originates from the love of God. So I'm a happy tadpole. I'm just going along and doing my little job as it needs to be done.
And someday we'll be a happy frog, you know. Just if there's any folks listening that aren't aware of what we're talking about with tadpoles, there's a quote says that the best way to become a frog is to live loyally every day as a tadpole. Now, the Urantia book just has a way of putting you back into your space. And,
that's right.
And giving you perspective cosmically, cosmic perspective that, you know, okay, I really don't have to be perfect today, and I can't really love everybody. I have to get to know people in order to love them, and I don't have to be some grandiose person. I just have to do what I do as best I can and point myself in the right direction and move forward. I call it upward, inward, and onward. So,
that's nice. I like that.
Yeah. Just,
yeah, there really ensues a joy that is indescribable. It becomes like an infection, but what a great infection. I'm so happy to be infected of that joy. It is something, and if it can help people, let it be.
Let it be.
It's for the good of all and for the glory of God, because all glory is to God. But in the meantime, let's celebrate life. Let's enjoy life. Let's appreciate life. Let's take it for what it is, the gift that they gave us, and help one another. We're all family, you know. So not one is more than the other, but and not one is less than the other. And if we do that, what a joyful life it can be. What a pleasure to wake up in the morning and say, good morning.
Or as Pato would say, it's a new day dawning.
Yes.
And let's take this call real quick and see what...
Yes.
561, you're on Blog Talk, the Cosmic Citizen.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Who do we have
here? Hi, Lena from Florida.
Oh, hi, Lena. How are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Good. Were you just listening, or did you have a question?
Yeah, I've been listening, and I'm, I have dermatitis, and I've been trying to find a natural alternative to medicine, because I was on steroids, and I didn't want to take them, and I'm trying to take all different types of vitamins flaxseed.
Well, that's going to be perfect. In 45 minutes, we're going to have a great specialist who's going to be able to help you, Lena.
Oh, okay. That's what this show
yeah.
is.
It's going to be wonderful.
Lena, she's coming on for the second hour. I know Diane is. Diane, do you have any advice for Lena in the meantime?
Well, I think I would prefer to wait, if you don't mind, Lena. It's just not even in 40 minutes, because the special guest will be there, and then if there's something to add, I will be happy too. But I think I would prefer to respect the fact that Elizabeth is your main guest, and we should give her front recognition.
Good.
Would that be all right, Lena?
Yeah, okay, I'll call back. Thank you.
Thank you.
You don't mind?
No, thank you.
Thank you for your understanding.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so Diane, why?
Because there is so much to say about that I don't want to take the floor, and then Elizabeth will most likely be very happy to offer suggestions and to help Lena even more and in a better way. So this is why I offered that we wait for Elizabeth.
Okay, sweetie. Well, why don't you just start giving us the lowdown here on the United Urantia Family Festival?
Oh, yes.
In Montreal.
You know, yes, I realized one thing, Paula. It's incredible. I was speaking with a member of the team yesterday, and I realized that today, Saturday, it is 1 year, last year, that I had gone to see that movie, Earth, which was such a work of art and majestic work, a co-production with BBC, Disney, and Discovery. And coming back home, I was doing my prayer and meditation, thanking God for this beautiful work, and what a great co-production it was between those three, when suddenly I was inspired that we could do the same thing. If we joined hands together, all major organizations, being the foundation, the association, the fellowship, and so on. And when I asked, but how? Well, you have it, Diane, the United Urantia Family, which was started in 1992, put on the back burner, to my greatest sadness, but because I started to travel, it was put on the back burner, and I sat square in my bed and went, oh, yes, that's right, I had forgotten. I came downstairs. I will always remember it was today, a year ago, Paula, because the reason why I remember it was a long weekend here in Canada. This weekend is Victoria Day, a Patriots long weekend. And I remember because I came downstairs and I thought, well, I'm going to see if it's going to work. And I called our dear Pato Benton and told him about the idea, when Pato said right off the bat, great idea, Diane. I love it. Count on me. I'm going to be there. And I said, wow, this is incredible, Pato. I think we're in for something beautiful. And that's how it all started from there. And I remember because after I hung up with Pato and I prayed, where can we do this? And I was saying to God, I would love it to be downtown so that it's easy for everybody to access, you know, Montreal and everything. And the inspiration came, UQAM University, and I picked up the yellow pages, and I looked at UQAM University, looked at the different numbers, and then found one for, you know, organizations and all this. I called, and I remember I asked if we could rent a location there, and even though it was a long weekend, I will always remember that afternoon, that same afternoon, the man called, Karim called and said, Madame Labrec, we will be happy to host your event at UQAM. And I looked up into heaven and I said, God, this is real. This is going to happen. And it all started like this and it unfolded. And from there's so many things I could say that is beautiful to show. I can see the hand of God moving along this beautiful project of going, giving birth to the United Urantia Family on Earth. And this is where we're going to be meeting in just a little over a month in Montreal from July 1st to the 5th. And since then, think about it, 1 year ago I was just making a test call, getting an answer in the afternoon. It took some while to get it started. And 1 year later, we have the two websites. We have the registrations. We have people coming. We have beautiful unfoldings. We're going to be launching new things. It's a family affair. It's so beautiful. So one thing I would like to clarify, Paula, because I've heard people say, oh, and by the way, it is so wonderful, Pato will launch his new CD called Words of Christ 3 at the event, at the United Urantia Family Festival, and everyone, you're in for something really beautiful. It was, I had the privilege, and thank God I had the privilege to be there, when he did the recording with Michael DiMattia in Boston, and it was like the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Truth was omnipresent. We had tears as we were doing it, and so it's going to be really beautiful, and Pato will launch it. We will use it, some of the tracks for the inaugural ceremony. But I would like to say that the mission of the United Urantia family is really to foster the spirit of unity within the global family of the Urantia Book readers and organizations. And that, by that I mean, it does not mean to take away any organization. Some people said to me, Diane, some readers are under the impression that the United Urantia family is aiming to take away all those organizations. Absolutely not. On the very opposite, it couldn't be more 180 degrees than that. On the opposite, it's to acknowledge and respect and help each and every one of us to work in synchronicity. And the best analogy I can use is a rowboat. I feel that if you can all visualize, like, everybody having a boat, and if you row by yourself, sometimes you turn in circles. But just like if you look at the Olympics, and when you have an Olympic team in a rowboat, and everybody sits in the boat with a united purpose, mission, to end our purpose, hopefully, it is to the dissemination of the fifth epochal revelation to humanity. So if we sit in that big rowboat and we have everyone accepting, respecting, uplifting, encouraging, helping each and every one. Let's say one of the occupants is the foundation, the other one is the association, another one is the fellowship, another one is the Urantia family, and so on and so forth. And we decide to row in synchronicity, agreeing on the fact that within each our own mission, we are taking different ways to service the dissemination of the Urantia revelation. But we can work in synchronicity to, well, to me, we're going to go fast toward our goal to help humanity, direct it toward light and life. And so this is the mission of the United Urantia family. It is by far to take away anything, but it is to complement, to complete. Like I said, 1 year, it's the triannual meeting of the association. And then the next year is the triannual meeting of the fellowship, and they each have their own mission, vision, and accomplishments. And then the third year, it's the Urantia family gathering. So we tell everything that's going on around the world. We meet brothers and sisters. We talk about the projects. Like Jay Peregrine is going to come and give us a PowerPoint presentation of all the different translations that have been done. It's going to be really a family affair. It's going to be so wonderful. And it will be balanced every day with breakout sessions in the morning and in the afternoon, and then family reunion, what I call family reunion, meaning that each day, the event is from July 1st, Thursday. We're going to have a beautiful inaugural ceremony starting somewhere around 5:36 on Thursday, the July 1st. And it's going to be a 3 to 3.5 hour inaugural ceremony. You know, Paula, the team has been informed of the unfolding, and it's going to be very reverent. This is a serious thing. This is really the birth of the United Urantia family on Earth. Eric Kosh, we are blessed to have Eric Kosh come to Montreal and film the whole event. I had a long talk on the phone with Eric and telling him the vision, the mission of the United Urantia family. He said, Diane, I love it. Great project. I'm going to be happy to be there. I said, Eric, for future generations, it's important that they have a root. You know, they can go back and say when it becomes global that everyone is uniting gradually one after the other and we work as one loving Urantia family, then it's going to be great that they can go back in their archives and say, you know what, in the year 2010, look, we can look at the video and see the film of how it happened and everything. There's even going to be a birth certificate, an official document, a birth certificate that will acknowledge in French, in English, French, and Spanish, that will authenticate the birth of the United Urantia family on Earth with, you know, saying that this is when it was born, and the names of the participants will be typed on the document, and everyone present will be invited to come and sign their name next to their, you know, where it is typed. And so there will be a document made of that, just like when a child is born and mom and dad are so happy that this beautiful baby, this as I call my son, my baby love. Well, when this baby love is born, very often they videotape everything so that for posterity they can retrieve it and still have tears when they look at it. And there's a birth certificate that authenticates the birth of this personality. Well, we're going to do that as a family, and it's going to be one beautiful event, you know. So that is Thursday night. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're going to have 3 days of full days combined with plenary, music, themes, speeches, breakout sessions, and then family reunion. We have Harry Manton, who's coming from Boulder, to be the coordinator of this great exercise that we will do each day. We will meet every one of us as a family reunion, 1, 2, and 3, and we will start to work to learn how to work as a community, to build a community. And Harry will come and show us tools, give us tools to work that, and modulate the meeting. We will have a secretary who will take note, and by the time, hopefully, I pray God that by Sunday afternoon, when we have our third family reunion, we have come to an agreement, even if it is one thing to do, Paula, but one joint mission that we have to work as a united Urantia family from different angles, from the angles of the foundation, the angle of the association, of the fellowship. Mo Siegel is coming, the president of the foundation. Jay Peregrine, we have Carolyn Candle, who's going to be, it's going to be wonderful to see Carolyn with us. She was there during the time of Dr. Sadler. We have Michelle Clemesh, the president of the fellowship. We have Janet Falbo, who's coming to represent FSUB, Florida student of the Urantia book. And then we have Ashley Pierce to represent UB Youth. And by the way, we're going to have Truth Seekers coming to join us. We have the great work done by Tom Choquette and Fred Harris, who are so wonderful to take care of UB Youth and bringing the Truth Seekers to Montreal. And they're going to be celebrating with us. So we thank them. You know, we're even going to have unaffiliated readers, you know, like readers that like to be left alone and by themselves. So it's going to cover the whole spectrum, and it will be beautiful. So great event.
It sounds like a fabulous event, and of course, you know, I'm coming, and I can't wait to come. And the inaugural ceremony sounds wonderful. And I should also say, just for folks listening, that there is also another couple of other Urantia conferences in the same month. The one is the fellowship puts on a Urantia conference every year. Every third year is an international conference, and those are big ones. They typically will draw in anywhere from 500 to 1,000. Attendees, and that one is next year, IC11, International Conference 11, for the Urantia Book Fellowship, and that is in the Salt Lake City area. Look for more information about that. That's going to be a wonderful conference. Again, it's chaired by Susan Cook, who did the International Conference in 08 at UCLA, And that was a wonderful conference. Diane was the MC of that conference, and we just had a great time there.
Mm.
I just did a tribute to fellowship and used a lot of the images from that conference. We had so much fun. We get together and we have fun, and we really are a Urantia family, and we've had our Urantia family squabbles, obviously, like every year.
Like a true family.
Yeah, we're a true family, and if you can't make it to Montreal, if it's just too far to go, then you might think about coming to Chicago at the end of July, because the fellowship summer seminar is there at Techne University, and it begins on July the 21st, well, on the 22nd with a pre-conference retreat. And then it'll be a wonderful program with a lot of worship and scholarly study. The summer seminars are always very focused scholarly study. The theme of this summer seminar this year is cosmic morality. So that's an intriguing thought, isn't it? Cosmic morality. So if you want to wrap your mind around that, and we send out information all the time about that if you're not on the mailing list for the Urantia Book Fellowship or for the United Urantia Family Festival. Send me an email, and I'll get you on the mailing list for both of those. We send out information for all Urantia organizations that are doing things, and the fellowship serves all Urantia organizations that would like to be served by us, and we're happy to do it. So send an email to fellowship@urantiabook.org, and I'll make sure you get on the list to be notified about great events that are coming up. Urantia Book readers work very hard to put on a conference or a retreat, and I don't know if you have ever done it. And Diane, you've done it now, and you know you've been doing this for a year. You've been usurped. Your time has been usurped by this project. I mean, every time you call, you tell me new developments, and you have a conference call every Monday with your team. Crystal and Beek Larson is on your team. Thomas Orjala, Quester. Hey, Quester. Quester's on your team.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, we have a great team.
Go ahead.
You know, they've all linked together. It's so nice, and that's what I was saying to some people. We, Urantia Book readers, if we want, we are really, how should I say, not spoiled, but we're in really a good position. I can't find my word to say that, but we're in a good position that if we want, as you said, we can come to the United Urantia family, but it doesn't stop there. Right after, in 2 weeks after that, I'll be in Chicago at the summer study session because I was there last summer. It was great. I loved it. I love the word you said, scholarly. If you want to go in depth in the Urantia book, studying the Urantia book, the summer study session is the place par excellence to go. And then after that, there's going to be UB the News conference. And then IC11, well, with Susan Cook, it only promises to be a success because it was a success in 08. And then next after that, the year is going to be the association triannual meeting. So I see ourselves, not just myself, but all of us as supporting each other, going to each other's conference, helping each other, and so growing together. And like I love to think of my family in that way, my biological family. We're 12. It doesn't mean to say that because one does something, it's at the detriment of the other one. And the opposite, we all support each other, and it's like one does something great, but the other one does also something great, and the other one also does something great. So, and it answers a need. One is scholarly, one is family, one is promoting, is public, and it completes the picture. And maybe we should say to the listeners, Paula, that we're going to be so blessed to have Cosmic Citizen live at the United Urantia Family Festival, and it happens to be at lunchtime on Saturday, July 3rd. You're going to be doing the live radio program, Cosmic Citizen, from Montreal. So for 2 hours, people who are in different corners of the world that want to be part of it, we're all going to be gathered together. We'll listen to you with your guests, and it will give them a peek of what is going on for 2 hours. So I think it's worth mentioning, you know, that it's going to be a blessing to have that. It's there's also a media art competition that Kristalyn Beek Larson has started. She's still looking for sponsors because she said it already looks beautiful, but she says the more the merrier, you know. So it's to help in the presentation of the Urantia book. So the media art competition is going on. And then there's also something new that we're going to launch, which I love. It's going to be called Urantia Family Ties. I was talking with Thomas Orzula one day a few months ago, and we sort of had the same similar idea, each on our own side. And when we got on the phone together, I was surprised that we had thought of the same thing together. And so we exchanged and said, you know, what would be nice is that between each United Urantia Family Festival, and we remember that the word festival means festus, meaning celebratory ceremony, particularly of a religious nature. Well, that's exactly what the United Urantia Family Festival is about. We will celebrate our religious ownership of the family. And so Tevo and I were saying, well, it would be nice that we have some projects going on between the 3 years to keep the family alive. You know, it's not just an isolated event. So we've come up with different projects, and one of them I would love to let the listeners know because I just got it this week, and I was so enthusiastically, I was so enthused, I think is the proper adjective in English. I was so enthused at what Tevo did. Tevo is Thomas Orzula's son. He specializes studying in the media and how to make websites and all that. And he's come up with this great work. Thomas and I, had a call with Tevo and said, look, what we would like to do is a website of a daily inspiration, but with a different flavor. We want people to be able to submit an experience, an inspirational quote from the Urantia book that has moved them, that has, as an example, I'm just giving an example. Let's say you, Paula, would have gone, oh, I have an idea. You have a daughter, Meili, that you have adopted from, was it China?
Yes, she's Chinese.
Okay, all right, so let's say you want to share with the world a Urantia quote that really, really means something to you. It goes deep in your heart and soul. So you promote, submit your idea to Urantia Family Ties, and readers around the world will get the daily quote on their internet every morning, never knowing where it's going to come from. One morning it can be someone from Africa, the next morning from Russia, the next morning from China, next morning from America, next morning from Australia, and it can be someone of 17 years old, it can be a reader of 91 years old, the possibilities are open. So it could be, example, you, Paula, we would get the morning quote from you with a picture of what really means a lot to you in line with that quote from the Urantia book. And then to learn more, we just go down and we get a little story of why it is so meaningful to you. So we could have, as an example, we could have a beautiful picture of you and Glenn, your husband, with little baby Meili in your arms when you were in China. You had just gone to get her, and you were so moved and so touched and grateful to God for having baby love Meili in your arms. And then you could have a quote that has moved you to keep the vision of your goal, you know, to adopt that love child. And below, a story of what it is. And you can even submit a second picture so that we could see now Meili, that I know, who's turning out to be such an incredible young lady of 13, I think she is. Is she 13? 14?
She's 14.
14. So there could be another picture of you and Meili at 14. So can you imagine how beautiful every day is going to be called the Urantia Family Ties, and then a daily inspiration from the United Urantia Family. And so from around the world, it's going to bring up those family ties. of all our brothers and sisters, there's even a button that people can submit a comment. So let's say someone is really moved, someone who wants to adopt and is in the process of where you were at the beginning, Paula. They can read your quote and see a picture of baby Melia when she was all little and your story and all this. She can decide, oh, my God, thank you so much. It just re-energized my hope, you know, and brought more courage to me to keep holding on to my vision of also adopting a child, where she can submit a comment and say, thank you so much, Paula, and she can be coming from the other end of the world. And you never know, as they say, the act is of man and the consequences are of God. So you could receive 27 emails in that day of family members, family ties.
Sure. Now, are you ready to give people that that website address, because it is a beautiful site?
It is. No, we are going to launch it because we're in the process of tying up the loose ends, if I can use that word, to make it perfect at the United Urantia Family Festival. We will launch it. Tevo will come on stage. He's a great guy. So I want, you know, the honor is all his to present that. It's his work, and he's going to show us how it works. It links to truthbook.com, to all kinds of organizations. It gives the latest news. It if people want to submit, let's say someone reads your the daily inspiration and says, I have something I would love to share with the world, with the family, with the Urantia family. Well, to submit your own, and then they can send in their picture, their inspiration, as long as it is a quote from the Urantia book that has a specific meaning, a unique meaning to them, with a picture or two pictures and a little story, a little blob. If they have a Facebook thing, there's going to be a link to their Facebook. So can you imagine, Paula and everyone, what a great vehicle it will be to create Urantia family ties? Just like the expression says, you know, we're family ties. Like we're brothers, we're sisters, we're this, we're that. Well, that's what it is. And that's going to be a daily inspiration from the United. And the word United and ties is so complimentary, you know. So that is really something I'm looking up to, having everyone see that. It's going to be nice.
It just takes on a life of its own, and you have pointed this out to me several times, how this whole project has taken on a life of its own, and it's cool.
Yes.
And of course, you're quick to point out that it's because the inspiration is Jesus, and there's no doubt about that in my mind. And you know, there's a few things that I just am thrilled about, and one is the Urantia media art
competition. Yes.
Yeah. This is an ongoing competition too. It's not just for the United Urantia Family Festival. Something that for anybody who's involved in creating videos, Urantia videos for Facebook or for outreach or for any purpose, can submit, and also blogs. You have a blog category.
Yes.
You have the video category, and what is the other category you have? You have three, I think.
It will actually, I don't remember the third one, Paula, but it is important to say that it's just birthing as well, because it will go on to IC11, it will go on for the Urantia Arts Conference. So it is something that people will continue and continue, whether it's movies, you know, blogs, shorts. It's going to be, it's really great. You know, it's really, really great. Oh, maybe I should also say, because I see that soon we're going to be over, I should also say for the French-speaking people that the website is all in French as well, which is great, because all this was done in about 10 to 11 months. So I'll tell you, we've been busy. We've been working, but what an incredible team that has been knitting itself together, you know. We have such a great spirit of love of working together, and the expertise of each one makes it that we already have two websites. It's all done in French. There's even a Urantia book reader, Eric Ancourt, who has accepted to translate in French. And so people will have their little radio transmitter with headsets, and they will be able to listen to that in French.
Okay.
And that will
for our listeners, I want to point out also that the Media Arts website is www.urantiamediaarts.com, and you can go there and get your multimedia projects for consideration. They've gotten together a pretty impressive panel of judges, including Tong, who's an amazing Urantian artist, and so again, that's www.urantiamediaarts.com. Okay, so I just wanted to get
there's so much talent, and you know, amongst the Urantia book readers, it's wonderful. Even yesterday, something new came up. Patrick Yash suggested that we do a wave dance. You know, the wave dance like they show on YouTube. So we have Michelle Clemesh, who specializes in that field, and Pato Benton, who both have accepted to do that. And so at the event, Michelle will synchronize all of us, choreograph us into a wave dance, and it will be filmed so that we can put it on YouTube. I think it's going to be really fun to do, you know. And Pato has accepted to work with Michelle. We'll also have a banquet, just like the inaugural ceremony. The opening is going to be great, very reverent, very moving, very touching. The closing is going to be beautiful. We have a banquet that's going to have as well a live auction, a special recognitions, not to inflate people's ego. We know better than that. But recognitions that are to recognize the service that people are doing, or the special projects they are, or the beautiful way that they act, they interact with their fellow readers, you know, and even human beings around the world. So there's going to be special recognitions to uplift each other, you know, to encourage each other, to recognize efforts that each other. We know that the glory is all God's, yet at the same time, you know, it's beautiful to see if that can serve as a model for the new generation, for the younger generation, to say, oh, God, I'm so moved by what this person did. You know, like we're going to give Vern Grimsley a recognition. Well, I was looking at his bio of what he's done in his public ministry, and it's, to me, it was very impressive. So it's beautiful to be able to recognize the work that some people do. That doesn't mean to say it's at the detriment of the others. We know in the eyes of God we're all equal. Yet at the same time, we can say, you know, thank you so much for the service you've rendered, you know. So there will be special recognitions. There will even be a nightclub dance. So, and you know what made me laugh, Paula? Is when I was working on the service, you know, how to get people from the airport to UCAM University. By the way, the name is UCAM, the letters UQAM, which means University of Quebec at Montreal. And the funny thing is, I started to call some readers and say, well, you know, I feel really overwhelmed by synchronizing this transportation from people, and how are they going to come from the airport to the university. And when you travel, you know, Paula and everyone listening, how expensive it can get to be sometimes to go from an airport to a conference. Sometimes it's $30, $40 and more if you happen to take a taxi. And so I called some people, and we had you know, I said, like, oh, it's not going to be fun, and it's going to be complicated. But anyway, it had to be done. It had to be done. And then the next morning, a good friend of mine, Hubert, called me and said, Hubert is the one who's been working with me on the translation, the French translation of God Calling. And then he said, well, Diane, I think that God answered our prayer, because guess what? I just read in the paper this morning, the city of Montreal is happy to announce a new shuttle service that will be effective in May, taking people from the airport, the Trudeau Airport, downtown to, where do you think? UCAM University. I said, oh, my God, even the city is helping us. So that took care of the whole problem. For only $7, They have started a service. It's called the 747 Express, and it's on. It has its own reserved lane because of the high density people, you know, in the bus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful double-decker bus, modern 747. It works 24/7. Every 20 to 30 minutes, and it takes you right downtown to Rican. So even if it's jam time, like a, how do you say that, traffic jam or something, even if there's 500 cars, forget it. We're going to the United New Rancho Family Festival. They're going to be coming down in that reserved lane for $7 each way, so it will assure that they won't miss their flight back. I was so delighted. I said, good Jesus, thank you so much, you know. So that's his Urantia family, being served from the airport to the university. So I laughed. I said, you know, that was a good one. We still laugh at it when we think about it. And needless to say that it's the same weekend as the Montreal Jazz Festival, and the Jazz Festival is going to be held just 4 street corners from where we are. So we have a night out Saturday night at the Jazz Festival, and Friday also at the fireworks competition. On Friday night we're going to have a Thursday night was the inaugural ceremony. Friday night is a presentation in honor of, as a testimonial of love to the life carriers, and then we have a show with Pato Benton and other artists as well. On Saturday night we go out, and on Sunday we have the banquet.
A question on the board is if any attempt has been made to invite the general public or to do a segment that will be of interest to the general public.
Yes, Thomas Orgela has a broad vision of that. So he's proposed an exercise to invite the people, the public. And what's nice is that we will be doing, naturally, UQAM University is, if you think of Bullseye, downtown Montreal, that's where it is. It's on St. Catherine. It's like Fifth Avenue in New York. So it's on St. Catherine and St. Denis, which is very central. And because of the Jazz Festival, the fireworks and all this, it's going to be loaded of people. It's going to be July 1st, the national holiday for Canada. July 4th, the national holiday for the United States. We're going to have a ton of people. We're going to do the wave dance on the street. We're going to be outside. We will approach people, invite them to come and see us during the weekend, so that, yes, it has been covered. Thomas was there right at the beginning to say we must make sure that there's a segment of letting people know about the Urantia Revelation. Good there, question.
Yeah, it's that came from our friend Larry. So, yes. You know, I think, and I, as I have told you many times, we need to start telling the world about this amazing revelation. I mean,
yes,
we talk to each other about it quite a bit, but the world needs to know that there is a revelation of truth in the Urantia book that is just unsurpassed. And if you doubt it, I would say to anybody listening, if you doubt that the Urantia book is a revelation of truth, just go get it and read it. And
yes,
read it from cover to cover, and then decide whether you think it's not. And if you think it isn't, and you have something better, please let me know about it. I would love to hear about it. I'm a lover of truth, and I've always wanted to know the truth. Always wanted to know whether or not, you know, I have all of the classic questions: are we alone in the universe? Is there intelligent life? What's the purpose of life? What's the meaning? Why do people die? Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, all of the above, every difficult religious question you've ever asked that you thought couldn't be answered, and that other religious authorities and theologians told you, well, there's really no plausible answer to that. Where did God come from, for instance? They're answered in the Urantia book. And
I still remember, you know, the dream that you told us quite a while ago. Paula, I would like to share it with the listeners. Have you ever told it in public, your dream, your famous dream?
No, the one
that was so meaningful. Would you mind if I would mention it?
Well, do you want me to tell it?
Yes, absolutely, because I thought it was so meaningful. Go ahead. What a great way to end this hour.
We've got about a minute left, so
yes.
Elizabeth comes on, and I've got an eye on the board for her call. Yeah, this was back in the mid-90s at the height of our family dysfunctions, lawsuits, and everybody was angry, a lot of enmity in the movement, gnashing of teeth, I don't know, just a lot of anger. It was about 1996, I'd say 97, and at the height of the lawsuits and the copyright battles, and oh my gosh, it was just it was an awful time in the movement, and I found myself sitting at the end of an 800 number where I've been since 1989, approximately, answering calls of Urantia book readers, and I was, this day I was getting calls from everybody, and they were just railing at me, you know, I guess they just needed to vent on somebody, so they were venting on me, telling me, you know, just, you know, how disgusted they were with this group or that group or how they didn't do this right, and they thought they were so, you know, how could those people over there do that, and it was just like, it was just a full day of that kind of thing, and I became so discouraged and so, you know, disheartened, and I said to the Heavenly Father, Father, what's wrong with this movement? What's wrong with us? And I laid my head down on my arms. I folded my arms in front of me and laid my head down on my arms. And immediately I had a vision. And the vision was I was flying over the prairie, pretty swiftly flying over the prairie, and there was a presence just to the side of me and just behind me. And the presence was taking me, I knew that, was showing me things. And we were flying over the prairie, and we came upon a sheer cliff. And at the base of this cliff was covered wagons, and they were in a circle. And I said to the presence with me, oh, pioneers. And the presence brought me closer into this circle of covered wagons. And I immediately felt another presence that was even further behind me, but this presence was very sinister, very evil presence, very dark, menacing. And I thought, again, they've circled the wagons. That's what they do when they're in trouble. And the closer we got to the wagons, they weren't wagons anymore, but people standing in a circle. A large group of people, they were all standing in a circle facing each other. And they were screaming at each other, yelling at each other, shaking their fists. And what I understood was it was angry recriminations. That was the words that came to my mind. Angry recriminations. Yelling and shaking their fists and cursing each other, and just, it was just awful. But then I noticed that a few of the people in the circle were trying to get others to turn around. And this evil presence was coming up from behind. And I knew it was going to take them by surprise, because they were so busy yelling at each other and facing each other and yelling at each other that they wouldn't turn around aware of what was coming. They would not face out. They were faced in. And because they would not face out, this presence that was coming up from behind them was going to take them by surprise. And about the moment I thought that, some of the people in the group, in the circle, started to really try to convince the others to turn around. And they were pulling at the others, saying, turn around, face out, face out. But the people in the group that were yelling at the others were so stubborn and so determined to just keep yelling their angry recriminations at each other. And they couldn't, the poor folks in the group, in the circle that were trying to get the others to turn around and face out to see what was coming, just couldn't get them to do it. And then the vision was starting to fade, and the last thing I remember was I heard these words.
Tragic narcissism.
Hmm. It meant so much to me when you said that. You know, the idea that we hold such a revelation, and the world is so hungry, spiritually speaking, and we are there. It's like a smorgasbord, but we are there with some food, the bread of life itself. And I just wanted the listeners to know, because when you told us that vision you had, it was so meaningful, you know, to turn outward and serve our brothers and sisters, bring the light. If we are the light bearers, let it be so. So don't let your light shine down. Let it shine up and forward to help people see, you know. So thank you. I just thought it would be a wonderful way to end this part of the, maybe I should just, I would like to say one thing, Paula. Thank you so much to Lisa Ray and David Graves for taking care of the websites for the event of the family, because they're doing an incredible amount of work to help everyone register and have all the information for the event that I felt moved to say thank you to Lisa and to Dave.
Oh, well, yeah. Thanks go out to all of those folks. You know, it's
yes.
Not easy to pull a conference off, as I said earlier, and it's a lot of devoted people and a lot of great volunteers doing wonderful things, and Lisa's done a beautiful, beautiful job on your website. So
yes. Do you have our guest, Elizabeth?
I don't have her yet. Maybe I think she may be expecting me to call in, which I hope is not the case, because, as you know, I have you on Flash, so I'm not sure what to do. Diane, should I hang up with you?
Well, then maybe let me finish and just say goodbye. Thank you, and then I'll let you connect with Elizabeth.
Okay.
And if you can reach her, and if not, I'll be happy to continue as your co-host.
Okay, sweetheart. Thank you.
Okay. Well, good luck with Elizabeth, because she sounds like she's a great lady for the essential oils. I can't wait to listen to her.
yeah, she's amazing. She's
true. Yes. Thanks, Paula.
You bet, honey. Thank
okay,
you.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, folks, hold on with me here. I think Elizabeth is expecting me to call her. So I'm going to give her a call. Just hang with me for just a second. Elizabeth, are you with us?
Hi. Yes, I am. I'm sorry I didn't call you right at 10. We have this garden tour, and I had to kind of train a woman to take over for me for the hour. So anyway, but it's okay. Everything's good. Yeah, so how are you?
I'm great. It is so great to have you on, and I know you're launching a brand new book, Awakened to Healing Fragrance, The Power of Essential Oils and Essential Oils Therapy. You are such an extraordinary expert in your field here with essential oils and aromatherapy. I'm hearing, okay, folks, can you hear me out there? Can you hear me and Elizabeth? I'm doing a sound check here. I had to hang up momentarily in order to call, and so I just wanted to...
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. No problem. I'm so glad to have you. You know, let me just make sure that folks can hear. Hold on. Excuse me for this glitch, but I just need to make sure before we continue.
Hi.
Got sound. Okay, good. Thank you, Crone. I really appreciate your help with that. You know, because we're on Blog Talk Radio and we're all working from our phones and our computers, you know, we experience technical problems from time to time, and sound isn't always what it should be. So I always appreciate Jake giving me that feedback.
Good.
So, Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about your book. What are you up to right now?
Well, Well, I've been writing. I started researching the book, the historical part. It's divided into three parts: the past, the present, and the future. And I started researching the historical part maybe 10 years ago, wanting to honor women in history, and it was challenging because there's not much information about women in history. And I had to go to a lot of libraries to find information about these women. And most of the women are queens or, you know, prominent in their society, or otherwise there would be no information. But I found fascinating that each one is so unique and so different. I have 11 chapters on 11 women in the past, and all that they used the oils for, or used aromatics, I should say, for health reasons and empowerment. And just to give a little example, let's see. Queen Hatshepsut is the first chapter, and she was a pharaoh in Egypt in the 18th dynasty, about 1500 BC. And her favorite oil was myrrh. And myrrh is an oil that grows in the desert. The tree grows there. And they slice the trunk and extract resin from the trunk. And this oil, it's really a resin, was used for so many things, for cosmetics, for medicine. It helps to heal wounds. It's antibacterial, antifungal, antiviral, and it gave Hatshepsut a sense of power and confidence because she was the first woman pharaoh in Egypt, and she ruled for about 20 years, and her brother was jealous of her and buried all her statues and scratched out her name. But her temple remains, and her temple is still there at Deir el-Bahri, is the name of the place, right near Thebes. And it's a magnificent temple with drawings and pictures of her life. So anyway, she's just one example. And
Now, the oil that she used was myrrh, you said?
Myrrh, right. She'd rub it on the bottom of her feet and walk along the terraces in this temple. A fellow Urantian, Larry Geis, went there and brought me back some myrrh from Egypt. And he said that the temple looked like modern architecture. It was so striking against this white marble against the red cliffs of Thebes. But anyway, that's just one example. And then, just to mention another, are there a lot of Urantia readers in listening? I mean, is that?
Well, just so you know, there are quite a few on the board right now, and then there will be, these shows are always archived, so they can come back later and listen to it, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just to mention, whenever there's Urantia readers around, I love to mention this chapter. It's called Women in the Life of Jesus. And I start off saying, imagine walking through the fields with a man who totally is there, listening to you, tuning into you, seeing who you are, and bringing you total love and acceptance. And it's just a joy to walk with him. Those aren't the exact words, but it's the idea. And Jesus was so amazing at in his time to honor women and to you know, talk with them and acknowledge them, because they were definitely second-rate citizens at that time. And he knew that they were, you know, spiritual, cosmic citizens that were equal in the spiritual realm to men. So he loved honoring them. And two of his favorites were Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus. And Mary gave him an aromatherapy treatment, which she's famous for. She had had an alabaster cruse, they called it, a kind of a vase, a container with spikenard in it. And spikenard was a very costly oil or ointment that came from the Himalayas. And it was used for relaxation, for often used on a spiritual teacher. It has often used when someone is close to death. And so he, you know, it was perfect that she anointed his feet with spikenard. And I remember Judas protested that she was extravagantly wasting this costly ointment on his feet, and he said, "Oh, don't worry. She would prefer to give me this treatment while I'm still alive, instead of using it at my death, and she will go down through the ages known for this act." So that's just one of the stories. I mentioned quite a few other women in the book that he encountered and that he befriended. And what a truly beautiful human universal man he was.
Well, and so the idea is then that these oils and these healing oils and ointments have been around forever, essentially, that we've known of them in the ancient times in Egypt, that the women who followed Jesus knew them. In some ways, would you say that our understanding of you know, in the maybe more recent times, in the last couple of hundred years, has waned in our understanding of these oils and what they're good for? And so you're...
Well, the pharmaceutical industry, you know, the science of creating synthetic medicine has taken over, you know, our medical world. And it is useful, especially for emergencies, and beneficial in crisis especially. But for preventative medicine, for long-term health benefits, the pharmaceuticals are not are just not helping people. There's more sickness today than ever, and so coming back to using these essences that are derived from plants and trees, roots, are coming back as an alternative to use for strengthening the immune system. For what happens is you use them, you know, the word aromatherapy implies that you smell something, and you can smell them, of course. They have beautiful fragrances. I wish I could send the fragrance over the radio waves to your listeners and to you, Paula, but we haven't developed that technology yet.
Wish you could, too.
Yeah, but so that's the aromatherapy part, and what happens is when you inhale the fragrance, the molecules go up to the back of the nose and stimulate nerves in the epithelium that send nerves up to the olfactory bulb and back along the olfactory nerves to the limbic brain. And there the nerves go to the amygdala, which deals with emotion, and then on to the hippocampus in the limbic brain that deals with memory. So right away, the smell, you have an emotion associated with the smell, either good or bad, and it's stored in the hippocampus as a memory, eventually going on to the hypothalamus. But the limbic brain is very fascinating to learn about. It's really more the animal brain, but very important still to us. And, of course, then the neocortex is the human brain, which they say we still don't use very much of it. We're still evolving. And when the planet is settled in light and life, I know we'll be using much more of the limbic brain and the neocortex. But the essential oils stimulate that limbic brain and create emotions and stimulate emotions. So that's the aromatherapy. I like to call the term for the field essential oil therapy because it also covers the fact that when you put the essential oils on the skin, they have such tiny molecules, mostly from the steam distillation process. Probably 85-90% of the oils are through steam distillation. And they penetrate through the skin, get right into the bloodstream, usually within about 20 minutes. You can verify this by taking a clove of garlic and rubbing it on the bottom of your feet, and in about a half an hour, you will taste the garlic in your mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, I mean, they travel. The oil travels in the blood. And they go to different parts, different organs, different systems that they resonate with. For example, lavender is an oil that is the most popular oil in the world because it resonates with the central nervous system. And, you know, helps to relax the nervous system and helps to reduce stress and anxiety. And since most people today are feeling a lot of stress, it's, you know, a very welcome oil. And so it latches onto the receptor sites on the nerves of the central nervous system and act as a catalyst to reduce stress in the nerves that are dealing with stress. Another good example is rosemary that gets into the bloodstream, and it stimulates the brain. It really helps thinking. It helps the cerebral cortex to focus and concentrate better. And it also, rosemary goes to the liver, and it helps to regenerate the liver. People that have had hepatitis or cirrhosis have used rosemary and found incredible results in using rosemary to regenerate their livers.
Wow, that sounds like one I need. Now, we have a question on the board, and we had a caller earlier, and I felt bad because she was hoping to ask you this question. So I'll ask for her, and maybe she'll get to hear it later. The question on the board is, what do you recommend for carpal, for wrist, for tarsal, for feet, and elbows, tunnel?
Okay, for joints?
Yeah,
Or carpal tunnel?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? Yeah. There are definitely oils that benefit joint pain and joint problems, arthritis. You know, it's usually what I train my students to do is ask kind of a holistic questionnaire of the person to get a sense of who this person is and all the things they're dealing with, to choose the right oils for them, because, you know, each person is so unique and different. But just in general, I can say that black pepper is one, Piper nigrum. I ask my students to all learn the Latin names of the essential oils, because then you know exactly what plant you're talking about. You know, there's so many different varieties. Black pepper, cedarwood, Juniperus virginiana is the American cedarwood, and Cedrus atlantica is the European cedarwood. Both of them are very beneficial for arthritis and joint pain. Another one would be juniper. Juniper is detoxifying to the body, helps to clear out, like for people with gout or something like that, juniper is the ideal oil, cleansing to the joints and cleansing the bloodstream.
Well, this person who asked this question just said that the docs are done with her. She has all of those ailments, and that she has one last surgery next month.
Oh, boy.
Cubital tunnel, right elbow, and they're recurring, she said. So what about arnica? Is arnica good for
Arnica is wonderful. An herb. It's not an essential oil. It's an herb that is very beneficial for especially wounds or traumatic injuries. You know, really helps the kind of the cell regeneration in a very gentle, mild way. It's used a lot in Europe. The essential oils and the herbs work so well together. Essential oils do not create any side effects, so that you can use them with herbs. You can actually use them when you're taking pharmaceuticals as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you know, something that people don't understand, I think, and something that you and your husband Larry taught me, is that all essential oils are not created equal, and that the purer the oil you can get, the better results you receive. So do you want to, and also I want to add that the woman that called earlier had dermatitis, and so she was asking about what essential oils might be good for that. But maybe you can touch on that and the purity of oils and what you guys have developed to purify your oils or to ensure their purity.
Okay. Well, the purity is, my husband is a chemist, and I just happened to have fallen in love with a chemist. He's also a Urantia book reader, and I met him at a conference.
Lucky you.
I know. And it just turns out that his skills were perfect for this thing that I got involved in. That's another long story, but working with plant energy. So he's able, with a gas chromatograph, mass spectrometer, we call it GCMS for short, he analyzes every batch and every sample of oil, or actually every sample and every batch that comes in. We have a company here in Santa Cruz called Elizabeth Van Buren, and we go the tenth mile to make sure that the oil is the chemical profile that comes out of the GCMS shows that it is the right profile for that oil, and also that it's not been adulterated with usually petroleum-derived synthetics, which many people adulterate oils with because it extends them, and, you know, for profit in selling the oil. So, and we return the oil. If it doesn't have the right chemical profile in this GCMS, we actually return it, sometimes overseas. And it's a great hassle and time delay, and but we're just dedicated to putting out the best quality for therapeutic purposes. So it's important, you know, check with your supplier to ask about the source of the oil and if it's been analyzed.
You essentially guarantee your oils, then you guarantee that they've been analyzed and that they do have a maximum of purity. And
yeah, we do. We sell our oils mostly to places like hospitals. We're selling more and more to hospitals.
Wow.
I know, it's exciting. There's a English nurse, Jane Buckle, she's a PhD from England, who is training nurses on the East Coast, and they are going out into hospitals and asking for good quality oils to bring in for treatment in their different clinics. Often they're integrative medicine clinics. And then we also sell to practitioners, people who are doing treatments on other people for health benefits, in a spa, in a massage therapist, an esthetician, a nurse, just people who are offering treatments, although we, of course, do sell to the general public, too.
Now, do you have a website that you sell through then?
Yeah. It's ElizabethVanBuren.com. VanBuren. Yeah, we do. We have a website. And I think that it's good to call the company that's supplying oils and ask if they could get their oils tested and analyzed, because we would like to see all the oils in the U.S., you know, going through this analysis, so that the general public is guaranteed to have a good quality. I'm sure someday that will happen.
That's essential, really. I mean, no pun intended, but because they really do a disservice then if people buy an essential oil and they think that it's going to help and it doesn't, because it's not pure, then
right,
they lose
right.
faith in the ability of aromatherapy or essential oil therapy, and that's a disservice. You know, it's a non-invasive, natural, holistic way to treat conditions
right.
that may, you know,
right.
that doctors may not have been able to treat, like the woman on our board who's tried everything and doctors are giving up on her. You know, but then if you don't get the pure oils, then you probably won't get a desired result, and you'll be, you know, back to square one again. So you're right. It's very important to ensure that people take the time to ensure that their oils are pure. Do you sell to any of the big chains like Whole Foods, or do you just pretty much?
We sell all over the United States and to Canada and Japan. We aren't in big chains. Except for some spas like Nordstrom spas and Jean Juarez spas up in Seattle. We're not in the huge chains yet. I think it would be good to get into Whole Foods, but we just haven't done that yet.
I know somebody who sits on that board, and
okay.
So do you, probably.
So. Well, you're a good person to know. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, because we want to get the quality out there, and a lot of essential oils are used, you know, distilled very quickly for food grade, but cleaning products. And, they're put in, lemon is put in many cleaning products. And so a lot of the essential oils in the world market are not good quality, you know. So you have to be careful. You have to really check them out and make sure, because when you're using them for health purposes, you want to have the highest quality. Yeah. And then the lady with dermatitis, not knowing exactly what is causing it for her, or but oils that are very cooling. See, it's the chemistry of an essential oil that tells you why it does what it does. So when you get that GCMS, you get you can see what chemicals are in it, and you can see why it's good. Like chamomile, the Roman chamomile, is a wonderful oil for skin, for anything that's hot, inflamed, red, irritated. And the reason is, when you look at the chemistry, Roman chamomile is almost all esters. And esters is a functional family in organic chemistry that is very soothing and very calming and natural, and really helps to soothe the inflammation that's happening. So it's valuable to know this chemistry. I have a college, the College of Botanical Healing Arts, a 400-hour program, and we teach 70 essential oils in these 400 hours, and 20 herbs, and nutrition also. We also focus on nutrition. But we have the GCMS for all 70, thanks to my wonderful husband. And we can look at the chemistry and really understand in a much deeper way why this oil is effective for the things that it's known for. Or, you know, we have a profile telling all the medical aspects of the oil. And you trace it back to the chemistry. And I have a chapter in my book that is just a long chapter on chemistry to explain that to the general public, you know, how they work and why they work. And we actually have the GCMS in the book in that chapter, which I don't think there are any other chemistry books or any other essential oil books that have the GCMS. So we thought it's time to get it out there. So in the part of the book in the present, there's a chapter on how to use the oils with formulas and blends to use for different problems. And then there's a chapter on case studies, and it's a lot of students. This would be like modern-day women, men too, but not that these oils aren't for men. I don't mean to discriminate against men. I'm just trying to honor women, which doesn't happen that often. So the case studies are very interesting and insightful about how to use them. And then the chemistry chapter, and then a chapter on the anti-infectious quality. Every single essential oil is antibacterial. It's part of why I think God put them in the plants. To help the plant stay healthy and strong. And then some of them also are antiviral and antifungal. So most people don't realize how powerful they are that way. A good example of an oil that's very anti-infectious is thyme, Thymus vulgaris. Really powerful. It has a phenol in it, which has a benzene ring, and the phenols are very hot and fiery, and they just will get rid of bacteria and viruses. And you know, very effectively without any side effects.
Now, would that be good for dermatitis? Because isn't itis an infection, like an infection on the skin, or like acne? Would that be good for?
It would, although because of its hot, fiery quality. I don't think I'd use it for dermatitis or I never did tell you the oils for that. For the infection part of that, I would use tea tree. Tea tree is a very popular oil these days, and it's very anti-infectious, but also gentle and doesn't irritate the skin. It has a huge peak of an alcohol, which is a tonic, and it makes it gentle but effectively healing. I think every person on the planet should have tea tree in their medicine chest for all kinds of things that come up, but especially for skin problems. Really effective for that.
What about eczema? Would it be effective for eczema, or is that?
It would help, but I would also use maybe some Roman chamomile and helichrysum. Helichrysum is an oil that's almost all sesquiterpenes, and it is amazing how it works at healing, you know, really serious, sometimes chronic skin or bone or joint problems.
Wow.
Helichrysum.
How
yeah.
do you spell that, Elizabeth?
H-E-L-I-C-H-R-Y-S-U-M, helichrysum, and it is powerful, yeah. And the other thing to remember about essential oils is that you only need a few drops, you know. Most dilutions that my students make in blends, a 2 to 2.5% dilution in a vegetable oil. So that you don't need, you know, these little bottles that you get should last for a couple of years. You just don't need to use much. In fact, you don't want to use much. But just a small amount penetrating through the skin, getting into the bloodstream, will be very powerful in its healing effects, and you don't need much.
So the idea is you may pay a little more for a really good essential oil, but it's worth it because it doesn't take as much and you don't need much. And what would you prescribe? I mean, if somebody has a condition like eczema or dermatitis, just a daily treatment, once daily?
Well, depending on how severe it is, maybe twice a day for sure. And if it's really bad, maybe 3 times a day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So depending on the severity of the condition.
Yeah. And then, you know, putting it on and then, if possible, covering it. When you cover the essential oils on the skin, they will penetrate more deeply, faster, and be even more effective if you can cover it with clothing or a large gauze bandage or, whatever is convenient for you and whatever part of the body you're dealing with. But covering them is good because they will evaporate, you know, due to they are volatile and they will, in the steam distillation process, the steam is sent up through the plant material, releasing these little sacks of oil. I have pictures of them for quite a few of the plants. It's amazing. Each plant is different. The life carriers must have had a lot of fun developing these different methods or different structures in plants with these essential oils in them, little sacks. And in lavender, the little sacks are actually lavender. Interesting.
Amazing.
I know. It is. We also teach a class on botany at the college because learning about the plants, where the oils come from is very important and fascinating, and they're called secondary metabolites. They're part of the photosynthesis process. And of course, photosynthesis is the most important process that happens on our planet. We wouldn't be able to live without it. We wouldn't have food without it. And scientists cannot replicate it yet. But going back to my book too, the one chapter I really love is the mind-body, and how our minds and our bodies are so connected. There are no secrets. If you think that you can think thoughts and your body cells won't know about it, you're wrong. They know. They're in on it. There's a conversation going on all the time. And this incredible woman, her name is Candace Pert, Dr. Candace Pert. She's a neurophysicist, and she wrote the foreword for my book, which I am so honored to have her do that. It's a beautiful foreword. And her book, called Molecules of Emotion, totally influenced me. I teach a class called The Mind Body, and we read her book in it, and I really recommend it. It's just a fascinating book. And she discovered the opiate receptors in the limbic brain that I mentioned earlier, and realized that a lot of emotion is in peptides traveling in the brain, the nervous system, and then through the rest of the body, a lot connecting with the endocrine system, the hormones, and also the immune system. That these three systems are totally linked by these peptides. And so the whole field of psychoneuroimmunology was developed thanks to Candace.
Wow.
And her work. And yeah, Paula, I really recommend you read this book, Molecules of Emotion.
What's her name?
What
is the author's name?
Candace Pert, P-E-R-T. And so there's so many things that we are just beginning to discover all the ways that our mind and bodies are connected. The Urantia book talks about it. I have some quotes from the Urantia book in that chapter as well. It's so important to understand how we can keep in balance, keep our homeostasis happening by affecting our minds, our emotions, and also the physical body. And in fact, Candace calls the physical body the unconscious mind, because often if we have a traumatic event, it's stored in our body, and it takes a special healing modality to release it. Like cranial sacral is one that will release emotions stored in the body. Sound healing will do that. A lot of these energetic healing modalities will release emotions, and once you release them, you usually find relief on a physical level, you know, from headaches, from back pain, from autoimmune diseases like fibromyalgia, all kinds of things are relieved. Once you can release the emotion that's stored there.
Wow.
I know, it's powerful.
There's
so much to learn about, you know, how we function, how we're such amazing, our bodies are so amazing, our minds are so amazing. Our mind is a gift from the infinite spirit, right? And it's like learning how they're all connected. And the essential oils are perfect modalities for dealing with mind-body imbalances. like, for example, there's this thing called the ACTH loop, which is an imbalance where you become depressed. You start having depressed thoughts, and depression is a serious problem in America today. You have depressed thinking, then that stimulates the CRF, a hormone in the hypothalamus, which I think is the most fascinating piece of tissue in our body, the hypothalamus. And then the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, hangs down from it. So it, the CRF sends a message and a hormone down to the pituitary gland, where the pituitary releases the ACTH hormone, and the pituitary is the master gland of the endocrine system. So it sends a message down to the adrenal glands, and the adrenal glands produce cortisol. They produce quite a few things, but cortisol is one of their main hormones that they produce. And cortisol is a hormone that if you get too much of it in your body, it will lower the immune system, raise your blood pressure, you tend to gain weight, and all kinds of physical side effects from cortisol. And so they call it the ACTH loop. So then that often makes you more depressed, and you know, the loop continues. But if you use essential oils, a really good one would be frankincense.
Really?
Which will break that ACTH loop and get your mind into a more uplifted spiritual place. Frankincense is a very spiritual oil, and it also, frankincense helps to regulate the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. So it breaks that cycle of these hormones, you know, going round and round in your body, and you find yourself coming out of the depression, and as you come out of the depression, the hormones stop producing. And you stop having so much cortisol, which is the stress hormone. You probably have heard of cortisol.
Well, yes, and this is getting back to the mind-body connection, and I couldn't help but remember that that scene from What the Bleep Do We Know, where you know, she gets depressed, and her little you know, the little pink blobs are either happy or they're sad, and
right,
bombarded all of these negative chemicals, and they get so sad and depressed. And
I know.
Really, body,
I know,
the most amazing chemical factory on earth.
It's
interesting to me, and this is what I have against a lot of pharmaceuticals, and I know they're necessary. I mean, if you're a diabetic or where, you know, you have to have drugs sometimes to live, and I understand that, and I'm not saying that, but what troubles me is when people start taking a lot of drugs, it creates chemical imbalances, because what you're doing is messing with this master chemical machine, which is the human body.
Exactly.
And it is so capable of creating what it needs to sustain itself and to heal itself if we just give it a chance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
So start taking these drugs, and then they list all these side effects. Well, that's where you're messing with the chemistry. See, you get all these side effects, and that's from the chemistry that's gone wrong now. And so that you take one drug to change this chemistry, but then you have to take another drug to fix the side effect from the chemistry that you just messed with, and pretty soon you're taking 15 drugs a day.
Oh, and that's a slippery slope.
Yep,
my brother just passed away, and the doctor, I was amazed the doctor was so honest with me, but he said, you know, your brother was on 9 medications, and his body just couldn't take it anymore. All the side effects, all the interactions just literally killed him.
Not to mention what happens to the liver and other organs that have to purify the blood. And
Yeah. Well, that's why we call essential oils and herbs and nutrition preventative medicine. If you can start living a healthy lifestyle and using these natural, God-given, I mean, they truly are God-given. They're in the plants that God gave us. Then you will not develop things like diabetes. You will not develop heart disease. You will not develop cancer. You know, if you can live a balanced life with good nutrition, a good healthy lifestyle, getting some exercise, and using herbs and essential oils for the things that come up that you need to treat, and not go to using the pharmaceuticals, you will live a long and healthy life and never have to take a single pharmaceutical. That's my goal. I don't plan to ever take any, if at all possible. Yeah.
And with your knowledge, you probably won't ever have to. And, you know, we're almost out of time, Elizabeth, and I.
Okay.
And,
okay.
You know, it's just been such a treat to have you on, and I hope I get you to come back and do another hour with us. It's just so important for people to hear what you have to say. You're a great teacher in your
thank you. Well, Paula,
expert in your field, and it's just really I learn so much from you. Whenever I'm around you, I learn so much from you. And
thank you. Well, I love being around you because you emanate this wonderful spiritual glow that comes from, you know, knowing and believing and having faith and socializing that faith in such a lovely way.
Well, I'm going to go to your site, and I've learned so much just today about things that I can use that would really help me, and I'm going to order some essential oils.
Okay.
And that, again, is www.elizabethvanburen.com.
Uh-huh. And let me also just mention the college website, because it's interesting, too. It's got a lot of interesting things on it. It's COBHA, COBHA.org. It's for College of Botanical Healing Arts. www.coba.org. Yeah. So, and the last, last thing is that the future looks bright if we can develop integrative medicine where we have clinics with a Western doctor and many alternative practitioners, and including an aromatherapist or an essential oil therapist, to offer preventative medicine to people to keep them from having to ever develop a serious disease or get on pharmaceuticals.
Prevention is the key, isn't it? It always kind of gets to me when they talk about finding the cure, when in reality what they should be talking about is finding the cause. If they can find the cause, there's no need for a cure. And
exactly.
Eliminate it at the beginning.
And focus on health instead of disease.
Right.
You know, focus on health.
And being well.
And being well. That's what God wants us to do. I know He does. It's our God-given right to be healthy, you know?
Well-being. And the beauty of natural medicines and botanicals is that it is natural and that the body is natural, so they're in harmony with each other. It's not synthetic. It's not something created in a lab. And nothing against the drug industry. They've saved a lot of lives, probably, but... Let's focus on being well, and I love your point that, you know, someday the two, Western medicine and natural medicine and Eastern medicine, will all combine to make a more holistic approach to wellness and healing.
Exactly, Paula. It's so wonderful to talk to someone who totally gets what I'm talking about. Yeah, we are in sync. Yes. Well, it was so nice to. I'm so appreciative that you had me on your radio, and I'm going to start listening to it on Saturday mornings. Yeah.
And can we get your book at Amazon.com?
You can. Awaken to Healing Fragrance. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Paula. We'll stay in touch.
Okay, my dear.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Well, that was Elizabeth Van Buren, my friends, and we're out of time now. We're not even streaming, but I hope you enjoyed the show. And I hope to get her on again for more time because she's just a wealth of information. Stay well, and it's always a pleasure to spend our days with you. And I wish you a blessed and happy week ahead. Bye for now.